Morning, morning, morning. Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Sunday. I want to welcome everybody to the Rock Church. I'm Pastor Miles. God bless you. I'm so excited about today's service. Let me ask you a question. How many people here came with a burden today? Anybody come with a burden today? Wow. Okay, a lot of y'all. Okay, good. This is the perfect place for you to be. How many of y'all came here ready to go? How many of y'all came here ready to go? Okay, great, great, great. Let's get on our knees. Let's get on our knees. Unless you have a health problem, join us. And if you came here with a burden, I join you. I have burdens. We all have burdens. This is exactly where God wants you. Amen? Let me encourage you to do this every day. Get on your knees every day. Your posture, your physical posture is a reflection of your internal posture. Sometimes people will pray kind of like whatever attitude, or during worship, you got your own fold and you're just like whatever. That's not worship. And so your physical posture is going to be a reflection of your internal posture. We come out with our knees, on our knees saying, Lord, this is called knee mail, okay? Not email, knee mail. God, I want you to, I'm here before you. I can't do this by myself. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we come to you because we have nowhere else to go. We have nowhere else to go. And all the people that are in here are here because we have nowhere else to go. To hear words of life, to be encouraged, to be seen by the Almighty Creator. And so we cry out to you. We kneel before you. We honor you as our Lord and Savior who died and rose from the dead. And we thank you that you have solutions to all our problems. And so we surrender our hearts to you, we surrender our lives to you. And I pray for everybody who raised a hand who has a burden. Lord, I pray you affirm right now in their heart that they are seen and they are known by you, and you haven't forgotten them. And though it may feel like it's more than they can take, you say you'll never burden us with more than we can take. You will always give us a way out. And sometimes that way out is simply saying, God, help me. So I pray you encourage them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, God got you, God got you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go, let's go. If you have a Bible, let's see a Bible. Raise your Bible up and say, word. Let's go. Let me see how many Bibles in the room. Let's see how many Bibles in the room. Let's go. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Let's go. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Mark chapter 1. We got a really long passage for you today. Over the last several years, there's been about 50,000 Nigerian Christians killed by Muslims. And they are killing the Christians simply because they're Christian. Islam is means submit, and if they need to get you to submit by the sword, that's what they will do. And so they are killing Christians. And the reason those Christians are being killed is because they are not denying Jesus Christ. They have a commitment that they will declare and stick up for Jesus even to the death. We in this country have not gotten to that level because we live in a very, we don't have that kind of conflict yet, I would say, but we don't have that. So our faith really isn't tested. Probably the biggest faith you'll test is someone posting on your Instagram. And even being worried about that is being punked. That you would deny Christ because someone might say something on your Instagram. And so these Christians are saying, no, I'm gonna stand up for Christ, even though you will sexually assault me, burn me, cut my legs off, my arms off, I'm committed to Christ because I believe so much that he is true. The book of Mark is a letter written to Roman Christians who were being persecuted. They were being fed to lions. They were being burned at the stake. They were being crucified, and they would not deny Christ. So Mark wrote this book to them, this letter, to encourage them. And so we're going to read the first verse today. That's our text, one verse. Now, here's what I want to encourage you in, is that as you think about your life, and every time you hear the Bible, anytime you read the Bible, anytime you pray, you always got to say, how does this apply to me? I want you to be thinking about the persecution you're under, which is like almost settled. Very, very, very small. I mean, people criticize you, but they criticize you anyway because you know, the way you look or whatever. So it's not that big a deal. But yet, that little bit of criticism, persecution we may experience can actually cause us to not talk about Jesus. And yet these people, and by the way, all around the world, Christians are being persecuted to the point of death. So as we read this book, if this can encourage them, certainly it should encourage us. Let's read verse 1. It's our text for today. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is, period. That's it. I went too much. Let's read that together. Say, in the beginning. I'm sorry. Say, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to look at three things today. The gospel, Jesus, the Son of God, and the beginning. The gospel, Jesus, the Son of God, and the beginning. And this is going to set the tone for the rest of the book and probably most of the gospels. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible. How many books in the Bible? There are 39 Old Testament books. How many books in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? Say 27? Say 39? Say 27. What is 3 times 9? Oh, boy. 3 times 9 is 27. For all you who are, don't, how many of y'all don't like math, by the way? Raise your hand if you don't like math. No, like really high. I want to see how y'all do. Okay, that is no excuse not to know what 3 times 9 is, okay? And by the way, all of y'all who say you don't like math, you know how much your paycheck is. You know how much tax you pay. You know how many times that brother said, I love you, or gave you roses. You know how long was it for him to open your door. Don't tell me you don't like math, because you like math. There's 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And in all these books, there's different kinds of genres or literary styles. For example, if you were in the grocery store line and you saw a magazine that said Inquirer, you would automatically know that's fantasy. Jesus is not out in El Cajon walking around. He ain't out in PB walking around, okay? There's not aliens in L.A. Well, there may be aliens in L.A. You know what I'm saying? So you know it's fantasy. If you saw a novel, you would know, okay, that's a story. If you saw a Sports Illustrated magazine, okay, you know that's about sports. And so every publication has different promises it's going to fulfill by how it's written. The Bible has different genres. There's historical literature in the Bible, literally about things that historically happened. A lot of the Old Testament, what Moses wrote about, the beginning of the world, the beginning of the Jewish nation, and then walking through the wilderness, the Exodus. Those are historical facts that are verified by archaeology, so it's history. The Bible has wisdom literature. How many of y'all would love to be more wise? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you really need to raise your hand. Because you want to be more wise. But if you want to be more wise, there's wisdom literature in the Bible. The book of Proverbs is there to give you wisdom. A lot of y'all are making decisions about who you're going to date, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, what you're going to study in school. Ask God to give you wisdom. Proverbs is 31 chapters, one for every day of the month, and there is wisdom literature. There's apocalyptic language about the end of the world. There's prophetic language about prophets. Thus saith the Lord. Every prophet will say, thus saith the Lord. They will never say, I say. Only Jesus says that. That's why he's God. And so there's songs in the Bible. The book of Psalms are really songs that can be sung. So the Bible has all these different genres, and yet it is one book with many genres. You'll never read a book except by one genre at a time. Any book you buy is going to be one singular genre, one singular literary style. The Bible has multiple. The Bible was written by 40 people over 1,500 years on 3 different continents in 3 languages, all about one Savior. And it all agrees in all these different genres. And it's the number one bestseller in all the books in the history of the planet. Come on, God. Thank you for being a big author. But the genre we're going to look at today is the genre of the gospel. The gospels aren't only books by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but it's a literary style. It's a historical narrative with a theological concern. These are historical books talking about real people, real times, real events, with a theological bent to teach you something. Gospel literally means, it comes from the Greek word euangelion, it literally means good news. Everyone say good news. Good news. It's usually a declaration of good news about a historical altering news that demands a declaration or response. They are declaring something that happened that everybody needs to talk to. It's good news about the birth of a king. It's a good news about a military victory or the arrival of a ruler bringing peace. Why is this important to know? Because the gospels were written for people to declare it. They were written so you would hear it, read it, and say, guess what happened? We have a new king. Guess what happened? We've been set free. Guess what happened? We have hope. Even though they're burning us at the stake, we have hope. I told you before that I fed six lions it was like a 6-acre a pen, if you will. And these full-grown lions came up to us and we fed them with custard. And I can't imagine them telling me, we're putting you in this pen not to feed them with the custard. We're putting you in the pen to be fed by them, by you. That's what these Christians, all you gotta do is deny Christ. They say, I'm not denying Christ. So they say, well, we gotta write this letter to them to encourage them that there is a king that will set them free, that even though you may die, and by the way, we're all gonna die anyway, so don't think that if God doesn't save you, that means not God. You're gonna die. And what we get after we die is really the prize. But they wrote this book to encourage them to keep the faith, stay strong. So when people are threatening you, when the devil's threatening you, when a culture's threatening you to be quiet, don't talk about Jesus, you say, no, I have to talk about him. I have to talk about him. So each one of these gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talked about this Savior. Now, the gospels, the four gospels, have a different spin on the declaration about who Jesus is. How many of y'all have a kid? Anybody have a little kid? Okay, raise your hand really high. How many of you have no kids? You don't have any kids yet. Y'all are like, thank you, Jesus. I don't have any kids. Well, when you have a kid, there's at some point you're going to take pictures. You're going to have a portrait done. And you're going to go to the photographer, or the photographer's going to come to your house, you're going to meet you at the park or whatever. And once you look through all the pictures of your child, there's going to be a picture where he's like this. Then there's going to be a picture where he's laughing. There's going to be a picture where he's crying. There's going to be a picture of him taking off their clothes. And all those pictures are the same kid. So Matthew, he gave a picture of Jesus. He said Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament. So he uses a bunch of Old Testament verses, over 130. Mark says Jesus is the suffering Messiah. He's going to die, and I'm about that action. So in Mark, he uses the word immediately 42 times in 16 chapters. Jesus did this, then he did this, then he did this, then he did this. Luke talks about Jesus' humanity and how he is in touch with humanity, and John talks about how Jesus is God, and all of them form the picture that God wanted us to see. But today we're gonna talk about Mark, and I told you we're gonna talk about the gospel. Now we're gonna talk about the beginning. There are three beginnings in the Bible. The first beginning is Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, if you can get what I'm about to say in the next couple minutes, you'll understand, and it'll lay a foundation for the whole book of Mark. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man, he created woman, he created animals. There was no sin, no death, no lying, no disease, no division, no tears. No drama, no gossip. Come on, isn't that good? Sin comes in, the devil comes in and says, God lied to you. Adam and Eve first, then Adam, go, yeah, huh, yeah, God lied to us. No evidence that God has lied to you. Y'all have no evidence that God is not faithful to you. You have none. It's just the lies of the devil. So Eve said, yeah, God lied to us. He ate from the fruit. She ate from the fruit. She gave to her husband. He ate. The eyes of both of them were open and they were naked. And now what they do? They hid from God. So God made it and he said it was good. Sin comes in, brings death, disease, division, gossip, pain, curse on the earth. And now everything's cursed. That's the first beginning. It started out great. Sin ruined it. And when God spoke to Adam and Eve, they were hiding from him. And he said, you must have done what I told you not to do. That's the only reason you'd be hiding from me. The only reason we hide from God is because we do. The only reason we have drama is because we're doing what he tells us not to do. So that's the first beginning. It was created, then it was ruined by sin. Cursed. The Bible says he cursed the earth. So therefore, now we're at the second beginning, which is Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel. This is the beginning of the declaration of a king that's going to come fix what was broken in the first beginning. It says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus came to say and exercise his authority over all the curse of the first beginning. So all the miracles that Jesus is going to perform are him exercising authority over what was cursed in the first beginning. We're going to see in a minute. He overcame disease. He overcame demonic oppression. He overcame blindness, mute, deaf, the crippled. He rose the dead. So everything that was ruined in the first beginning, God says, I am introducing to you the authority to reverse the curse. Everyone say reverse the curse. And so I'm declaring to you, and the gospels are here to declare to us that God is here to reverse the curse. And we have to take that clarion call, that announcement, and take it and run with it and tell people the curse has been reversed. You have hope the curse can be reversed in your life and in your family and in your mind and how you think of yourself. Or you can walk around going, oh, my life is messed up. I'm never gonna get a break. Oh, they're out to get me. Oh, I'm never gonna get, no one likes me, everyone's behind, everyone's against me, and believe the lies of the devil. Now, there may be some people against you, for sure. There's people talking about you, for sure. And if you think everyone likes you, you're deceived. That's not the point. The point is that there is a gospel. There is an announcement of a king that has come to reverse the curse in all of our lives. 42 years ago today, at 5 o'clock in the morning, 42 years ago today, I recommitted my life to the Lord, stopped doing cocaine. That's my spiritual birthday, today. Today. I got to a point where weed, cocaine, hanging out, all the women, blah, 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 blah. Wasn't working anymore. And God was like, right here, just stand next to me, say, whenever you're ready. I'm telling you, God, with day after day, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready. And I was like, not yet, God. I gotta have more fun, God. And I'm thinking I'm having fun, I'm ruining my life. And I remember talking to a kid, something I spoke at years ago, and he said, hey man, if I did drugs all my life, ruined my life, slept around, did all this stuff, and right before I die, I asked Jesus to forgive me. Would he forgive me? I said, well, are you gonna be sincere at that time? Yes, and then he'll forgive you. And then he said to me, why would God let me cheat him like that? I said, no, you didn't cheat God, you cheated yourself. Your life was jacked up. You could have had an amazing life and maybe you wouldn't be dying at that moment. So don't think you cheat God. God said, you're now living your best life.